Hey Queens, this is Trina B with Girl Let's Talk Atlanta and Girl Let's Talk Minnesota. And today's guest is Miss Cheryl. Hey Cheryl, how are you?
Hey Trina, how are you, Queen?
I am doing just lovely, Queen. Thank you. Can you tell everyone who you are and what is it that you do?
So who am I? I'm Cheryl Pullins, and I always say I'm a South Philly girl, you know, with champagne and caviar dreams. And I help multifaceted women entrepreneurs and executives to leverage the power of their personal brand to create success.
Okay, awesome. How did you get started with your brand and having it kind of make money for you or profits?
So, well, it's a long, windy story, but I'll keep it brief. I'll give you the cliff notes. And so I had a 20-year corporate career. It was a little over 20 years. I was an HR professional. I started actually when I was quite young. I was in my early 20s. And I retired, if you will, when I was about 46, because my husband and I had moved to Florida. It was during the recession, and I couldn't find a job that really lit me up, that really like set my soul on fire. So I said, you know, I'm going to try my hand at doing something else. And that something else was becoming an entrepreneur. So I started as a life coach and then realized, yeah, no, I don't think I really want to do that. Right. And about 3 years later, I wound up branding myself as the Woman Entrepreneur's Mentor. And so I was helping other women who were coming out of corporate and starting their own business. I was helping them to do the things I didn't know to do, but I had learned to do over those 3 years. So I did that. And then eventually I kind of narrowed it down a bit more to personal branding, because I saw the effects of it, the impact of it, the power of it. When you ask the question about, you know, what got me my profits, what got me paid, it was branding myself that did it.
Yes, and I don't think people understand how important it is to brand yourself or brand your business. There's one thing about being an entrepreneur and having multiple hustles and doing multiple things and just saying, hey, you know, I got this for sale, I got that for sale, but you're not actually putting a brand to it. You're not actually making it, you know, a business, so to speak.
Yes, it's really important. I mean, branding is so powerful. And if you really stop and think about it, we see it all the time. We just don't realize that that's what it is.
Right, exactly. So when it comes to defining your own authentic self in a world that promotes comfortability, how do you define your authentic self?
So for me, I think the biggest place to start with authenticity is really understanding your identity, really understanding who you are. Mm. And that is something that I've discovered that a lot of us don't do, because many of us are defined by who we've been conditioned to be. Mm-hmm. So I spent 20 years in the corporate space. And if you know anything about the corporate space, you assimilate. I call it the Borg, if you know anything about Star Trek. I call it the Borg, because you assimilate. You have to fit what their model, what their vision is for their organization. Mm-hmm. But when you lean in and really learn who you are and what makes you authentic to who you are, then you can shape that into maybe, you know, what the organization might be looking for. So you're not shape shifting, okay? Because that's a little different, but you are saying, this is who I am, this is how I show up. And you give yourself the space and the room to do it. I think it's more maybe accepted to some degree now than it was when I was in the corporate space. Because when I was in the corporate space, you wore five colors. There were five colors you wore, you know, one ring on each hand. I mean, these were the kinds of things that they would say.
Wow.
You know, stepping into your authentic self, really showing up as who you are, it takes work. Because I think you have to do some rediscovery. Mm-hmm. Because who you believe you are just might not be.
Right. And like you said, it's who you are conditioned to be. Like your surroundings and, you know, the people who raised you or grew up with you and the things you just witnessed as well. And it's like, you know, you never seen anything, you know, that's why it's like a lot of first in a lot of our communities, like first one to go to school, college, first one to graduate high school, first one to, you know, start a business and, you know, different things like that. And it's like, you know, it's always a few that will break outside the brim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you step outside the norm. And when you do that, so much is in you inherently that you've received through those formative years that you still have to take a look at yourself and start to break down and say, what parts of this is really about who I am versus who other people want me to be? You know, even when you go to school, are you going to school, you know, because that's something that someone else wanted for you in terms of college, or did you want to take a different path, but you just didn't, you were afraid to, you know? Or if you went to college, the major you have, is that the major you really wanted, or you are your major is a way for your parent or whoever to live through you vicariously? I mean, you could just dig and dig and dig, which is one of the things that I do with my clients when I work with them, is we do dig, because the truth is you're in there somewhere.
Right. Yep. And it's definitely takes work. You know, I think this has been like an ongoing topic for like previous episodes for the podcast, is just discovering who you are and knowing who you are, like passions and things like that. You know, oftentimes I hear and have experienced, like, some friends are, you know, past my age, even at my age, I'm still are trying to figure out what they love to do, or, you know, any hobbies, or how can they, you know, have a scapegoat from their, you know, working a 9-to-5 or whatever the case may be. And it's like, wow, you know, I didn't know that people, you know, kind of struggled with trying to figure out what it is that they like. And I'm like, you know, for me, my passion has always been my passion. I absolutely love the arts. I love being creative. I love the marketing, advertising. I just love putting stuff together. So it just came easy for me. And I love writing and all of that. So it was like something that kind of followed me from school to who I am now. And to not, I don't think that if I didn't have, you know, that creative spirit, I have no idea what I would be doing. Yeah, because I my family is definitely military background, and that was probably one thing that I wanted to do, but I was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. That's not just, it's just not me. And then nursing, I was like, yeah, I even enrolled in school for nursing, and then after that first class I was like, nope, this ain't for me. And you know, I at the time, and even now, it didn't matter for me to disappoint individuals, because I knew that that wasn't my passion, and I just wasn't going to do it just to make others happy. And I wanted to pursue what really made Trina happy and what I was going to be committed to, because a lot of the times we put ourselves in these situations and we're not 100% in it, and you don't get the full the fullness of what you're doing because you're not putting in 100%.
Yeah. So, you know, the beauty of this, the beauty of discovering or becoming, or I call it the audacity to be authentic. The beauty of it is the discovery. Mm-hmm. know, it's the exploring. It's the being intentional and taking time to figure out what it is you really love, what you enjoy, what lights you up, what sets your soul on fire. You know, what do you lean into naturally without having to think about it? And just going and walking through that. One of the things that I tell women to do, I don't care if you're single, I don't care if you're married, I don't really care about that piece, your status, but I believe that you should date yourself. I believe you should take yourself out, do some discovery to learn what it is that you do love and enjoy. Because what happens is now you can communicate and articulate that to your partner, to your husband, to your spouse. You can say, you know what, I really enjoy doing this. I discovered that I enjoy doing this. And then you can either invite them to join you, or you can keep doing it by yourself. You know, I've been married for 15 years, and there's still certain things that, even though my husband and I do, like, we go to the movies, we love going to the movies, but I am so movies obsessed, I will go by myself.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay. I'll say, hey, I want to go see this movie. He's like, yeah, that's fine, because I'm not interested in seeing that anyway. But I don't let his not going with me stop me, because I love doing it so much.
Right.
And I think self-discovery is the beautiful part of this journey.
Yes, exactly. I had to do my work. That was a part of making who I am. I definitely took myself on a lot of dates. You know, I went everywhere. I was doing everything. I traveled by myself. And a lot of times people are like, you traveling by yourself? Like, you doing this and doing that? Like, yeah, I wasn't scared. You know, I was ambitious. I wanted to discover more. And, you know, sometimes when you are waiting on people to do stuff with, it just takes forever and you end up not doing it. So I'm like, you know, I wanted to do things for myself. One, because I wanted to see things. I wanted to be able, like you said, to be able to understand what I like, where I like traveling to. And especially when it comes to restaurants, like, I love a low lit, like, ambiance in a restaurant, just real nice. And me and my fiance, he's a lawyer and I'm more in, you know, the marketing and creative space. So when we do go to places, I look for places to go to that are like artsy and things like that. And he's more of a, you know, subtle. He doesn't like a lot of dramatics and I'm the dramatics, but we do compromise because he knows that I love it. And I know that he's not really, you know, an animated person, which I am. So, but we still find the time to have the individuality of doing things that we both love together and, you know, as individuals as well. And I think oftentimes when, you know, us as women get into relationships, we tend to kind of just, you know, go with the notion of, you know, following, you know, what our partners want to do. And then you do end up losing yourself because you're always want to satisfy and, you know, satisfy your partner and, you know, making them happy, but you forget yourself at the same time. Even as being a mother, like you said, like, I'm a mother of six, so I often find myself, like, you know, doing things again to, you know, by myself, because sometimes basically all the time I need like some space. Like, I just need like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And, you know, that's why I took up yoga, I took up Pilates, I took up exercising a little bit, and just, you know, meditation. I'm just doing some me work, and it definitely has helped me, you know, become a better mother as far as being able to, you know, deal with, you know, the kids, and then as well as my fiance and other relationships as well. You know, it's taught me patience. You know, just being by myself and understanding myself, it has taught me patience with other people. And that's a big part, because sometimes, you know, people can be a handful.
I think the other piece to this audacity of authenticity is having the courage. Having the courage to explore, having the courage to lean into what you love, having the courage to be yourself in whatever form that looks like, having the courage to you know, just show up for yourself. And that, again, is, I believe, is just a, it's a wonderful part of this journey to being authentic, you know, this self-discovery. And I think it all falls under self-discovery, but, you know, one, just really taking the time, being intentional to discover. I say discover, rediscover who you are, you know, and then kind of redefining what that looks like in terms of how you show up, how you interact with people, how you build relationships, how you show up in your business, how you show up, you know, with your family, with your friends. And some people are not going to get it. They're not going to understand it. Going to be like, girl, what is you doing? Who you think right. you are? You know, you all of that.
Midlife crisis or something. What's
up? But that's where the courage comes in. That's where mm-hmm. the courage comes in, where you learn how to communicate and share with people and say to people, you know, hey, I'm just on this journey of self-discovery so that I can truly live and be my most authentic self.
Right, right.
And then you wind up inspiring other people yep. to do the same.
Yep, yep. Influence, it's like a triple effect.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So, have you discovered like any aspects of your authentic self that were initially hidden or suppressed due to the external influences of people around you or your environment?
Oh yeah, I got a whole list of those.
Okay.
But one that immediately comes to mind, and I've actually shared this a lot, you know, I spent, like I said before, I spent 20 plus years in the corporate space. And in the corporate space, you suppress a lot. Mm-hmm. You really, really do. I call it self-censorship. I call mm-hmm. it self-censorship. And you censor yourself in a number of ways. And one of the ways I used to censor myself is I love jewelry. I love, you know, baubles, you know, I love nice big statement earrings, large hoops, you know, all of those things. And unfortunately, during that time, the path that I was on, you couldn't do that and be taken seriously. You know, you couldn't do that and be seen as someone that was serious about their career. Mm-hmm. So you were, you know, but I learned very early. I started in the corporate world when I was 16 years old, actually. It was an opportunity to do a business experience program through one of the big pharmaceutical companies whose headquarters was down the street from my high school. Mm-hmm. I got to work there when I started when I was in 11th grade. I got to work there. So part of the day I went to I went to school in the morning. Then after lunch, I worked in the afternoon until 4:30, Monday through Friday. And I worked full time in the summertime. Hmm. So here I am, you know, I'm 16 years old. I'm working this pretty decent corporate gig, right? This corporate job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, as a teenager, you act a certain way, you say certain things. I'm right. in high school, I do what I do. And it was very early on that I learned that I had to self-censor myself, that I couldn't talk the way that I talked in school. I guess they call it code switching now. I guess that's what they call it. I was having to do that. I was being taught to do that mm-hmm. at the age of 16 by the people that I worked with. Mm-hmm. So it became a natural part of who I was, maybe not natural part, it became a conditioned part of who I was, mm-hmm. you know, through this career, that's how I functioned, that's how I operated. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I left the corporate space and went on this entrepreneurial journey, I remembered me.
Right.
One of the things I remembered was my love for jewelry and big earrings and nice necklace, statement necklaces and all of these things. And I had to go back and say, where is she? You know, what happened to her? And I had to reclaim that part of myself. That's one that I totally remember, the whole journey of that. you know, of being conditioned in terms of the corporate space as a teenager, losing or self-censoring parts of myself, the way I would talk, the way I would, you know, I could be a little loud. I mean, I'm from South Philly. I'm not a...
Okay.
You know, so there are certain parts of me that are still that South Philly girl. And so that's one of my stories.
Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of like somewhat the same. Like when I got into the entrepreneur world about 10 years ago, I was, you know, a little timid, a little shy, because I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how people would, you know, receive me, especially having my own business. And then, you know, the stereotypes of, you know, oh, a Black woman with business, you know, you might not want to trust her, you know, just like based off how you look. And then, you know, like right now in 2023, it's like everyone is just like, they just real extra and things like that. And like when I started, I wanted to be extra like how people are now, but I was afraid that people wouldn't really see my business. So there was one point in time, like for years with my business, I was focused on just the marketing and advertising aspect and the branding. So I never put my face out. Like nobody actually saw who I was or anything on social media platforms. It was just the brand. It was just the business, straight business, straight business. Cause you know, I was like, you know what? You know, for people, they see a beautiful woman and it's like, oh, you know, she just, you know, basically sex sells and, you know, beauty sells as well. So I was like, you know what? I don't want people to see me. I want people to really, really, you know, get my business or whatnot without seeing me. And like mm-hmm. I said, for years I had done that and it has been successful. And I did realize the difference between the two. So when I started to like put my face out there, I did get a different audience from what I was getting before putting my face out there. I had all kinds of clientele, you know, different types of people and things like that. And then when I did start putting my face out there, my clientele went to a certain demographic, like it was just all Black people. And you know, for my business, I wanted to cater to everyone, and it kind of, yeah, it definitely kind of put me in the bubble. And like now, I am extra. I'm from Atlanta. I'm loud. I love jewelry too. I love jewelry. I love statement pieces. I love hand jewelry especially. And I love tattoos. I like all the, you know, just create. Like, I just love it all. And, you know, I was just like, you know what? You know, people are going to see me and they're going to think this and think that. But like I said, now, you know, everybody's just doing everything. So it's like I'm slowly getting out of that shell and just, you know, just speaking for me, speaking like me. I did have to, like, even like when I go to like professional events, because I do public speaking as well, and sometimes I'll start off with being, you know, nice and sweet and cordial, and then midway it's like, you know what, let me just let all this shit go, let me just talk for real, okay, and let me just, you know, and I end up getting that authentic responses, the authentic responses that I want, you know, for people to actually see me as me and not really just see me as another person that's trying to sell them something, or another person that's trying to just put foolishness in their ears and they're not really understanding because they don't know that I too have a story, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that was like the one of the things, but that I've learned, some of the things that I've learned is just like code switching and kind of, you know, conserving myself and not conserving myself. And now I'm just like, I'm just being my authentic self. I'm just standing up and just saying, hey, you know, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't, you know?
Yeah, I always, when I talk about authenticity, a lot of times I use Cardi B as an example. Mm-hmm. I just think she's a great example of what it looks like when you're true and authentic to yourself. Mm-hmm. When you're showing up and you're being you and you're, you know, and you, not only that, you get to see the multiple facets of a person when that happened. So we see her as, you know, we've seen her as a whole bunch of things, right? Right. But people gravitate toward her like a lot, you know, her following is huge, it's large, because she's just being who she is. You know, some people are like, oh, she's ratchet. Well, okay, that if right. That's who she is, you know.
Right.
Oh, she's this or oh, she's that. Okay, if that's who she is, that's who she is. She's on her own path, she's on her own journey.
Right.
She will evolve in her own way.
Right.
You know. So I love using her as an example because, you know, she's just out there. She's like, this is the way it is, you know. And I appreciate that about her.
Yes, I love her personality. And it's just like, you know, sometimes I kind of like search social media and things like that. And oftentimes I come across some of her videos and I'm just like, you know, like what she, especially like the cooking and stuff. I'm like, okay, look at her, you know? And, you know, like you said, a lot of people just gravitate to it. And that's that authenticity that people just like, okay, she's just like me, you know? It's relatable.
Yeah, because authenticity creates connection.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, it really, really does, because now people get to see themselves outside of themselves.
Right.
They really, oh, it's not just me. There are other people, you know, that embrace their quirky, that show up that way. They're goofy, but they still, you know what I mean? All the different mm-hmm. things that we try to hide from, or we suppress, or we self-censor. Then you see somebody that's living that piece of you out loud.
Yep.
So then you get to see yourself outside yourself through someone else. And that's very powerful.
It is. It is. That's why I'm like, yes, I love it. Because I know I can do that. I can do that. I can do everything but sing. Okay. And dance. Yeah. So when it comes to handling like criticism and judgment, how do you handle the criticism and judgment when it comes to embracing your unique qualities in a copycat society?
Well, the first thing you have to do one is to understand that one, you know, you're on your own journey and nobody understands that but you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take it personal.
Right.
No, don't take it personal. And most of the things that I'm going to say as it relates to this question is it's work. It's internal work that you would have to do.
Mm-hmm. You know,
these things don't come easy. Not taking it personal. That doesn't come easy.
No.
You know, understanding that you are on your journey and that other people aren't going to really understand, you know, what's going on or you know, why you're trying to be this authentic person, or which could very well be different than what they've been used to experiencing from you.
Right.
You start to shift into that. So one, don't take it personal. It's your journey, and other people won't understand. Two, like I said, it does take work. It takes internal work to get to the place where you are not swayed by other people's criticisms, opinions, or ideas of who you are and what it is that you're doing. So you really got to do the internal work to discover for yourself how you can navigate that. The third thing in terms of handling criticisms and things, you know, use it as information.
Mm-hmm.
Use it as information. You know, don't be quick to defend, but use it as information. And if that information applies, so be it. If it doesn't, leave it alone.
Right.
You know, and this is why I keep saying, going back to, you have to do the work in order to be able to navigate this. Because these mm-hmm. things don't come natural to us. Because, you know, when somebody's coming for us, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, we want to come back, you know, and one of the things that I've learned to do over the years is I've learned to evolve and to say, okay, because what I learned is that's their filter
mm-hmm.
and they're filtering that through their experience, you know, and I don't know what's going on with them in their head.
Mm-hmm.
So I can choose to not participate.
Right.
And then use that as information. You
right.
know, if somebody has a criticism or something, I can investigate, to see if it's valid. And usually you're going to know because it's going to land a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. And then this authenticity takes honesty. You got to be honest with yourself.
Right.
So even though someone's criticizing, the criticism could very well be the truth.
Right.
But you have to know that for yourself by being honest. So those are the three things that I would say just in terms of handling criticism. Is to don't take it personal, to understand that it's your journey and other people won't get it. Mm-hmm. And to whatever the third one I said, because it just went out of my head just that fast. So hopefully you could go back and rewind it a little bit here because I can't remember what I said. But those are the three things. Yeah.
All right. Oh.
Be honest with yourself. That was the third one. Be honest with yourself.
Okay, awesome. Well, Ms. Cheryl, it was definitely a pleasure speaking with you. Do you have any upcoming events, any upcoming opportunities that our listeners can support you at?
Sure. The best place for you to go and to learn about anything I'm doing is go to www.iconicwomanclub.com. That's where you learn about everything that I'm doing. Iconicwomanclub.com. That's my email community. That's where I write from my heart. I share with my people and they learn first anything that I'm doing, anything I have going on. I do have a couple things that I'm doing. The biggest thing that's coming up in 2024 in the first quarter is I'm doing a 12-seat boardroom style event. And I did it this fall and it was very, very, very well accepted. So I'm doing it again. So be sure you go to iconicwomanclub.com so you can get the details.
Okay, awesome. Do you have any social media handles that you would like to share with our audience?
Sure. I am Cheryl A. Pullins on all platforms. On all platforms. All platforms meaning I'm on LinkedIn for my women executives and entrepreneurs. I'm on Facebook for women in general, Cheryl A. Pullins. I am on Instagram and I am... Yeah, I'll just leave it there to those three because the other platforms I really don't use that much.
Okay, awesome. What about any publishings or any literature?
Publishings. Well, I do have a book that's on Amazon. It's called What Every Diva Must Know About Starting Her Own Business.
Oh.
So that's on Amazon. I've published a couple anthology books. I didn't write them, but I was the visionary for them. And the latest one we have was Unlock the Icon Within. Okay. I believe that's on Amazon. I'm not 100% sure. And I'm working on writing a couple solo projects myself. So if you go to iconicwomanclub.com, then you'll also be the first to know about that as well.
All right, awesome. I just signed up for your mailing list. I look forward to your emails. And I just followed you on LinkedIn as well. Now, my LinkedIn profile needs some work. I ain't gonna lie. Like, it needs some work. And, I'm so slowly gravitating there, you know.
Yeah, sure. Remember I said, it's your journey. It's your journey.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Cheryl. I appreciate you for stopping by the Girl Let's Talk Atlanta and Girl Let's Talk Minnesota podcast. Guys, be sure to follow and support Cheryl on your social media platforms as well as visit her website to see if there are any opportunities that you may be able to take